Blitz, KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ Is The Real, at Jon Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. And we are live at Sam Houston Race Park, where we are just 57 minutes away from 50 Cent Beer. It is Food Truck Friday, where they are bringing us food, and we will keep you updated on how good the food is that they bring us. And basically just having a good time. Live racing starts tonight at 7:10. And pretty good card. Pretty good card tomorrow night. I'll be out here from 6 to 8 tomorrow night. So if you're looking for something to do, this is your place to do it. And if you miss the first hour, a lot of good stuff. Basically hit everything. And Lamont asked a really interesting question that I think if I'm Dallas, I'm a little concerned about, although I might not admit it, is there any talk of Dak being a one-hit wonder? It's always a possibility.
No question.
And What if you cut Romo and suddenly, you know, Dak regresses?
You deal with it.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to make that move because of the money situation. And you've got – I mean, you saw – listen, if Dak plays well, which he did, and the offense is good, which it was, your team's still not good enough to win a Super Bowl. I mean, yeah. You've got to add to that defense. They know it. They understand that. And the only way to really do that is to move on from Tony Romo and save that money and put it into the other side of the ball. It's a possibility. I would hope that Dallas isn't stupid enough to think that they don't need to invest in another quarterback. I mean, in fact, I would be looking for a quarterback who's got some experience. And there's going to be guys shuffled around, you know, that – you know, for the guys who lose their jobs because Tony Romo's available or Jay Cutler comes available or whatever, they better find one of those guys.
Nick Foles, who's probably
good example.
Yeah.
Nick Foles, who I don't think is very good, but he's at least experienced. What you don't want is to draft another rookie to wait behind Dak. And, I mean, you need somebody who's actually seen some bullets fired his way in the NFL.
Yeah, I think – and he could also get better. I mean, you never know. I mean, it's year number two. So we're talking about old school bands, and Henry Thomas texted me about his old school trip would be the Kentucky Derby, which I've told everyone if you've never done that, you have to do it. I'd like to do it once where I'm not – I've been to eight of them, but I had to work every time. So one of these years I want to go and just have fun and not have to work. And but it's not even the race. It's just all the events around it. It's just a cool event. It's probably, and yeah, I obviously love horse racing, but it's probably my favorite sporting event that I've ever been to, and it because of what happens around it. You know, the whole thing just comes down to 2 minutes and 3 seconds of a race, but the whole day, the whole week, the way the town shuts down, it's pretty cool. 832 says Dak's completion percentage leads me to believe he won't be a one-hit wonder. You don't complete 67% of your passes because of luck or lack of consistency.
No, but it does help to have the best offensive line in the whole wide world.
Yeah.
And one of the best running backs in the world that played this last year. So, I mean, people are going to adjust to Dak Prescott. And early in the season specifically, I don't know if it was till about week 10 or something like that where – the Cowboys really started to open up the offense a little bit with Dak. I mean, they weren't asking him to do much for the first several weeks of the season, which I don't blame them. They did the right thing. They played it right. I'm guessing Dak's going to have a full playbook next year. There's not going to be any plays that they're scared to run with Dak. I think that he's going to have a full workload. So I honestly expect some regression from Dak. It's just a matter of if the regression is great or, you know, an acceptable amount. Because,
yeah.
I mean, to expect – if you expect Dak to come out and do what he did last year, you're probably setting the bar too high.
That might be fair. But I think close to what he did, that's doable.
It's doable, but if he has some regression, you have to understand he's a fourth-round guy who is in his second year. And he's already done more in year one than anyone could have projected he'd be doing by year three. So I just think that you should temper expectations.
Yeah, I agree with that. I just think, though, that also a chance that he gets better. All right, so here's another ticket.
All right. This is our leftover winnings.
Well, not all of them, but...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, 713-780-ESPN if you want to text the show. A lot of Cowboy fans saying that no, there's no way he'll regress. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, hell. I'm sure Elliott won't regress either. I'm sure, listen, this is...
I knew Bob Griffin wasn't going to regress
right
after his great first year. So...
I mean, this happens to most rookies is they... The second year is usually rough, particularly with quarterbacks. It wouldn't shock me at all.
Lauren the Aggie wants to know who's the most consistent mediocre to decent quarterback that will be available.
It depends if Jay Cutler's available or not.
Yeah,
he fits the mold of that.
Yeah,
I mean,
I think of the guys who
he's mediocre to decent. That's what he is. Like on his bad days, he's mediocre. On his good days, he's pretty decent.
On his bad days,
he's horrible.
Yeah, I may go back to Nick Foles. I mean, as a backup.
Yeah. But I mean, if you're saying, okay, we got to get one of these guys to quarterback our team because of the ceiling of Jay Cutler, you'd rather have Jay Cutler than Nick Foles, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, I mean,
but I think
for a team like the Cowboys, a Jay Cutler type would probably make less sense. That may be, although who knows what Jay Cutler could do with a decent offensive line. But I think that for them, a safe, experienced guy like Nick Foles is a good answer. Because you also don't want someone.
Right.
The problem is if you do have a guy like Jay Cutler and Dak does struggle for the first few weeks, well, I mean. There's going to be people who are saying, let's see what Jay can do.
Did he bring back Mark Sanchez?
No, he's horrible. He's a horrible football player.
So we mentioned Kaepernick was lights out his first year when they went to the Super Bowl as well. Somebody asked, hey, Fred, I know absolutely nothing about horse racing. Would your audiobook be for someone like me? It's exactly for someone like you, my friend. That's what it's very basic, and it's just to get you started in the game. That's all it is. 713-780-ESPN. You know, somebody said Nick Foles completed almost 66% of his passes his first year as a starter, for what it's worth.
Then he regressed.
It does happen. And Joey mentions that Bob Griffin had a 66% completion percentage his rookie year. All of those things, it doesn't mean he's going to turn into those guys and just disappear. But it's kind of like you said, if you're expecting the same thing from him, you might be asking a little bit. And... It could go the other way. Guy could get better.
Could.
It's just you don't know. Some of these guys, when they come into the league, when they've got the pedigree for it, it's just you expect more.
Oh, you won again?
No. Yes. Oh, that's the uninvested money? Okay. Oh, all right.
Oh, you got to do some work. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I'll find something for us to bet here.
Oh, we're still doing okay.
Yeah. You're still got what? $30 here almost?
28?
Yeah. Awesome. 713-780-ESPN is your number to text the show. Somebody says, don't forget Mark Sanchez has playoff wins over Manning and Brady. Boy, that's a long time ago.
Yep.
That's a long, long time ago. 409 says, you could see Prescott's potential in college and his upside, not so much with Kaepernick. I don't know. Did you watch Colin Kaepernick in college?
Well, Kaepernick was pretty good in
college. He was a damn good college player. He was running a different kind of offense, but yeah, I don't go back and look at the numbers that guy put up at Nevada. Man, he had some potential. And Cody says Cam Newton's a perfect example. The league adjusted to him. And then he adjusted to that and had an MVP season. And then
they readjusted this year.
Yeah, and that happens.
That's the way the league works, bro.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, the guys who can stay consistent year in and year out, that's why there's so few of them. Look how long it took Matt Ryan to have an MVP kind of season and how long he's been in the league. So it's hard to have that level of consistency, especially at that position. My goodness.
I mean, honestly, besides Brady and Aaron Rodgers, is there a quarterback in the league you could guarantee me right now is going to be in the top five next year statistically? Like, those two guys, I feel comfortable saying their names every year.
Yeah.
Beyond them, it's kind of a crapshoot. I mean, obviously, based on this year, you'd think, well, Matt Ryan's going to have a great year. I mean, you would think everything's in place for him, too, but I don't know. He hasn't proven it, that he can do it consistently.
He could regress.
The only guys who do it consistently are Brady and Rodgers.
And even within season, sometimes they don't play as well. Rodgers, first half of the season, wasn't Aaron Rodgers this year, but the way he finished.
Brady, the first half of the season, wasn't even there.
No, well, first quarter, yeah. So, yeah, I think you're right. It's hard to say, oh, yeah, this guy's definitely going to be in that conversation because I want to say Andrew Luck, but
he's not consistent enough.
No, and you know, who knows? Who knows what you're going to get out of him? 713-780-ESPN is your number. And I'll tell you what, I got to tell you about Harry's, how easy it is, how efficient it is, how great it is. Because as a matter of fact, it's so easy to go on their website. I had to order some replacement blades today. And it was just simple. It was great. And they're going to show up in my mailbox. I don't have to go to a store to buy these things. And that's what Harry's is all about. Because when they started, it was because the big razor companies just raise the prices all the time. They make immense profits. And they started by building their own factory, taking less profit, selling directly to you on the internet. And so they can offer their blades at half the price of what you're paying for those guys. It's just $2 a blade compared to the $4 or more you'll spend if you go and try to buy one and have to deal with a cranky salesperson who has to unlock it for you. And right now they are so confident that you're going to love their blades, they're giving you their set for free. All you have to do is cover shipping. So your trial set includes a Truman set ergonomic handle, 5 precision engineered blades with lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, travel blade cover, and post-shave balm. That's an $18 value for you to try, but it's only available to Blitzers if you use promo code BLITZ at harrys.com when you check out. Start getting a great shave right now with this amazing free trial offer. $18 values for free, just cover shipping. To get your free trial, including a handle, blade, shave gel, and post-shave balm, go to harrys.com right now. Enter code BLITZ at checkout. That's harrys.com, code BLITZ. Don't wait. Get started with Harry's today.
ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-3776 if you want to text the show. We'll be happy to take your text. You can also hit us up on Twitter. Blitz Facebook page, all kinds of ways. Oh, we've got some more food coming. This is awesome.
Oh, man.
All right, where is this? Where is this from?
What you craving? What is this?
It looks like a...
Did she tell you what it is? We'll find out.
Yeah. It looks like chopped beef sandwich with kind of a sauce on the top.
Is it barbecue sauce? Is it sriracha? What is it?
I don't know. That's what we need descriptions of.
We'll never know.
Well, we can tell you if it's good or not.
Lamont says he thinks that Matt Stafford's consistent. I don't know about that. I feel like Matt Stafford's one of those dudes who he's good for 4,000 yards every year, but the TD to interceptions, the win-loss record, stuff like that, the actual like QB rating, I don't think that's very consistent with him.
Somebody mentioned Breeze is pretty consistent.
Mm. I mean, even statistically, do you consider Drew Brees one of the top 5 quarterbacks in the league?
I think I do. Maybe, yeah. He had a really good year considering that the team around him wasn't very good.
It's true.
So, Two-way, what says you're saying QBs change every year, so Brock has a chance to be better next year?
He has a chance. I mean, in fact, if Brock started next year, I would almost guarantee you he'll be better than he was this year.
Yeah, it'd be impossible to be worse.
I mean, is it good enough to be useful? Probably not. But, I mean, it would be really tough for him to be as bad this year or next year as he was this year. That would be very tough.
Yeah. Mike says that Dak won't replicate last season. He played average the last four games, and defense has figured him out. We'll continue that trend.
Well, I don't know. I think that's just the way the NFL works. I mean, it'll take some time for him to adjust to their adjustments, and they'll figure things out. But okay. I think Dak's a player. I just think that next year may be tough.
This is pulled pork grilled cheese.
Oh, my.
That sounds amazing.
What's the sauce? Barbecue sauce?
Oh, yeah. Oh, so we're going to – that's getting mouth raped here in a minute.
Somebody on Twitter was asking about is it better to wait for a quarterback in next year's draft? Is next year's draft class probably better? Yeah. But if you need a quarterback, it's not like you can just say, we'll wait till next year. It's just not the way it works. I mean, I've thought that before. To me, if you're a – you know, if you're a team who needs one, you got to go find one. And there's some guys next year, like Luke Falk from Washington State, next year will come out. And that dude's an interesting prospect to me. Whenever Sam Darnold comes out, that's a guy that I would want to take. I don't know when he'll come out. Yeah. I mean, but if he does anything this year, what he did close to last year, he'd be a redshirt sophomore. He'd finish up his redshirt sophomore year. He'd be eligible. If he's smart, he'd leave because he'd probably be the number one pick. But that's a young guy. I mean, I don't know. So you got to find what you can in this year's crop, and there ain't much gold in them hills as far as I'm concerned.
Well, you have to get lucky with somebody, just like the Cowboys did. And I do think Watson can be a player in the league eventually. So much of it depends on where you wind up. Somebody mentioned Big Ben. Yeah, I think I'd put Big Ben in that category. When that guy's out there, he's pretty consistent. Of course, he's
not consistently out there anymore.
Well, and that's the thing. And, you know, he was even talking about retiring at one point. As a diehard Chargers fan that has done once Rivers goes, what's your opinion on them having the highest average ticket price for next season? It doesn't really surprise me because they're playing in that tiny little stadium.
Yeah.
You've got to maximize your if you're somebody who lives in San Diego who's going to go to the games, it's a pain in the ass to drive up there and then pay a whole bunch of money. But it doesn't really surprise me when you're playing that small of a stadium. You've got to make your money somehow. So,
yeah, that's a tough – I mean, you know, they probably wouldn't be the highest price ticket, but they don't really have an option.
Prescott is here to stay, haters. Deal with it.
Oh, God.
Okay. Yep.
Well, listen, we can't talk sense to anybody.
No, you can't. You can't. But I'll throw Ben in there and I'll throw Breeze in there.
Top five in total QBR this year was Ryan, Brady, Prescott, Rodgers, Breeze.
Okay.
How many of those guys do you think will turn over and be in the top five next year?
I think Brady for sure, Rodgers for sure. I think Breeze would probably be in there, although he's going to be a year older. And
if I were picking a third, I'd probably pick Matt Ryan. This seems more likely than Breeze because Matt Ryan's also presumably in his prime. Drew Breeze,
he's near the end, yeah.
Okay, just for reference, last year's top five, one guy was the same. Palmer, Roethlisberger, Dalton, Russell Wilson, Tom Brady was fifth.
Interesting.
So, I mean, that's just the way it is. It changes year to year.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think you have to look at who's consistently and how many times guys are in the top five in their career. And if you keep going back, I think you'll find that the Rodgers and Brady's and Breeze and Roethlisberger more often than not are probably in that top five.
Roethlisberger, I'm back to –
of course, he hasn't had a – when was the last time he played a full season?
I don't know. The last time he was in the top five was 2012. So it's been a while for him. Yeah. He's a little removed from it.
But he puts up big numbers.
And he does.
Yeah, he's also surrounded by some really good, good offensive players.
Oh, Matt Ryan was in the top five in 2011, too. So was Matt Schaub.
Wow.
Rodgers, Breeze, Brady, Schaub, Ryan was the top five in 2011.
So Ryan's done it twice now.
Believe so.
He might have had one other year where he had a bunch of where he played really well.
2013, Peyton Manning, Phillip Rivers, Jay Cutler, Drew Brees, Nick Foles.
Wow.
See, it changes. It yeah. changes year to year.
Now, that had to have been Nick Foles' 27-2 year, right?
Yeah.
So, 713-780-ESPN. People keep asking, what's the title of the novel? It's called Jesus Just Left Chicago. First chapter's on Houston sports and stuff, for those of you who keep asking. I appreciate you being interested in it. It'll be it's going to be a lot of fun when that thing comes out. 409 asking, how are you doing this with food in front of you? Take turns. We're just waiting for the break, and then we're just going to dive in. It's kind of hard to do it. So 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. We're going to take a quick break.
Eat some food. Sandwich.
Yeah, and then RJ will join us when we come back. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz live here at Sam Houston Race Park. And two thumbs up for Whatcha Cravin's pulled pork grilled cheese. That was fantastic. And now we've got, what do we have here?
The meat lovers from the Churrasco's.
That's awesome.
Man.
It looks fantastic. Of course, they bring it right before we go back on air.
Right. The timing is
not great.
So you got to
sit here and stare at it for another 12 minutes.
Not great timing.
So do we have RJ yet? Oh, okay. Sorry. I wasn't sure that we had him. So let's quit talking about food and talk to America's gambling guru. No, to hell with that. The world's gambling guru, the great RJ Bell, pregame.com. What's going on, RJ?
You sure there's not someone in India, maybe, that knows more?
I'm going to go with no. There might be a cricket expert in India.
You know, there's big betting on cricket.
I guess there might be somebody in Hong Kong. How's that?
Maybe with the horse racing.
Those guys bet like fiends, man.
They like to do the chariot
the horse
races
racing
there.
Especially, yeah.
Oh, yep. Some of the numbers that they do and handle there are absolutely ridiculous. Speaking of ridiculous, USA Today really asked you to make odds on which Monopoly piece would be retired? I think this is one of the funniest things I've seen.
I think it's crazy that the ones that got voted off are ones you liked.
Well, no, I like them to get voted off.
Oh, right?
Meaning what they said was USA Today, this is a couple years ago when they were going to eliminate the first piece. They came and said, hey, RJ, make odds on what likely will be the piece to be eliminated that will get voted off. So I did. I'm pretty embarrassed, to be honest. I did a crazy amount of research. I called people. I was doing my internal polls because it was so fun, right? And I was a Monopoly guy growing up. And then we ended up coming up with a list of, you know, the favorites to be eliminated. Now, what's interesting is now that piece was ultimately eliminated. And now just this week, another piece was eliminated. So two pieces since I made the odds. The second favorite got eliminated first. The third favorite got eliminated just recently, but my number one favorite is still alive.
What was the safest piece? Well, first of all, what's your favorite to get voted off?
I thought that the wheelbarrow would go, right? Because not
that's
only
a horrible
is that
piece.
Like an old school, you know, kind of like people, you know, it's not really aspirational to, you know, I think it's interesting the two pieces that have been voted off. The thimble recently, and then the iron, it was both about work, you know, manual labor, nothing, you know, that's cool, nothing you can Instagram, right? And so in today's society, you know, you could make the macro case that back in the 50s, it was like we all respected sewing up old clothes to save money. We respected, you know, doing our own ironing instead of, let's say, going to the dry cleaner. And we respected, you know, hard work, like building a house with your own two hands, right? Today, it's, you know, we've moved away from that. So the thimble, gone, iron, gone. But somehow, the wheelbarrow, and consider, not only does that represent something that's not in any way aspirational, but it's also a horrible functional piece. It always is tipping over for anyone that played it. So to me, I thought it was the perfect storm to get eliminated, but somehow, some way, it has not been.
What is the least likely Monopoly piece to go, in your opinion?
You know, I think the car. I don't remember what we came up with at the time, but I mean, who's going to get rid of the car, right? Every kid that ever played it wants to make noise. You know, vroom, vroom, wants to make the noise when you pass go. You know, pretty fun. Let's be honest.
What was your piece of choice, RJ?
My piece. Now, you guys are going to appreciate this. My piece was the hat, because remember now, I was born in 1970. So I was, you know, 12 in 1982, let's call it. And I loved Dallas, the TV show. J.R. Ewing, right? My mom, I was a kid. My mom and dad would watch it. And I just loved it. And I mean, just immediately, it's kind of demented. But when I was like 9 or 10 even, you know, Who Shot J.R. was like, you know, what, 79? Is I was such a big J.R. fan. Oh, my gosh. So I always looked at the hat kind of like J.R.'s, you know, cowboy hat. So... And for those Dallas fans out there, remember, it was set obviously in Dallas, but the Wentworths were out of Houston, right? So they always would fly down to Houston. I don't know if you guys watched the show, but big fan.
Oddly enough, I'm also a top hat guy, but strictly based on functionality. Like, the top hat was the least likely piece to fall over. I used to like to be the dog when I was little. But the dog always falls over. He has no base. He has tiny feet. I mean, it's a horrible, horribly constructed piece.
So you were never tempted by the car?
No, I was never tempted by the car. I liked the top hat. And if I went out of my way, like out of my zone, I would sometimes pick the horse. Because the horse was like, you remember the horse was like on its back legs. And then it had like a real base that wouldn't fall over. I liked that.
So there you see, you could have been involved in the odds making, right?
You didn't ask me. You didn't ask me my opinion.
Well, it's a couple years ago. This might have been right before the synchronicity of all of us coming together.
Yeah, it was probably before we killed brain cells in Vegas together. That's what it was.
Yeah, I was doing Carl Dukes back then, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Put up your Dukes.
Put them up.
RJ Bell is our guest, and as you can see, we could talk a lot more than gambling on here, but I do want to ask you about these Tony Romo odds, because obviously it impacts the local team here, that plus 180 to the Texans. I don't know, man. That's I might be looking at Broncos at 3-1 if it were me, but what do you think about these odds?
Well, I think one thing that surprised me. I love Twitter for the following reason. It's instant feedback, right? So I have a pretty good sense of what people are interested in, but now and again, I'll put out a tweet that I think, oh man, this is good. And you know, hardly anyone cares. And then sometimes I'll put a tweet out and think, yeah, maybe. And it's just people go nuts, right? So just put this out yesterday, had 157 retweets on a slow Thursday night, which is a pretty big number. Tony Romo next year. So one, I think the takeaway is people are very interested in this. So if we run down the odds real quick, like you said, Houston favored plus 180. So still, less than 50%, but the most likely. Broncos 3-1. Cowboys are not going anywhere, 6-1. So that's pretty fascinating, is the odds are like over 75%. He's gone, you know, based on these odds. Then you've got the Bears 7-1. And the Bears actually are favored for Garoppolo. So this is a team that not only needs a quarterback, obviously, but the expectation is the Bears are going to be very aggressive. You got the Chiefs at 8-1. Now, to me, I don't think Andy Reid's a type to make a, you know, it's easy to say, oh, you know, Pittsburgh came in, they didn't have enough firepower, KC, but I don't think they make a big move. How much of an upgrade is it from Alex Smith, really, with Romo? I mean, if he's healthy, maybe, but I'm not even sure. 49ers 10-1, and then obviously bigger underdogs from there. So my takeaway is, one, you know, how many teams, and this is a great conversation for you guys in Houston. Let's take Andrew Luck, all right? And let's call him the fifth or sixth or seventh best quarterback. He's not Tom Brady right now. You know, obviously we can say longevity from here, but let's say for next year, right? He's not Aaron Rodgers, but he's certainly in the second tier. Would we all agree with that?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So you guys can eat a little bit if you want, and I can go about 90 seconds. Is now consider that if you put Andrew Luck on Team X, Y, or Z, so let's say on Houston, right, a team that you know made the playoffs in a weak division, and let's forget for a second that, oh, the Colts would be losing their best player, and that would increase the odds of Houston making the playoffs and all that, which obviously would be the case, is wouldn't Houston be a top five Super Bowl favorite with Andrew Luck?
Oh, I think so, absolutely.
Okay.
If the rest of the team stayed the same?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, L.A. Rams with Andrew Luck.
No.
They're not. What are they? One of the top two or three running backs in the league, top seven or eight defense, and Andrew Luck.
I mean, they've got a rookie head coach.
Is that good or bad?
I can't imagine that it makes them a top five Super Bowl contender.
Well, what would they – I mean, just off the – I mean, are they top ten? I can't believe you're even wondering. The Colts are top – how? Well, let's do it like this. How would you compare the Rams roster without a quarterback?
The Rams roster is significantly better than the Colts.
Okay. So
it's besides the quarterback position.
Well, obviously. And the point I'm making is let's do the opposite. Let's say that Aaron Rodgers retired. Is Green Bay, and let's say Green Bay gets a replacement level quarterback, meaning, blowout, 22nd best quarterback in free agency. All right. So below average. Or is Green Bay one of the five or six worst teams in the NFL?
They're probably up around. I don't know if they're one of the worst, but they're definitely in the bottom half.
Ooh, I think it's worse than that. I mean, think about these teams. I think just on both sides, adding the quarterback and removing the quarterback, you're just underestimating. Because
tell me about New England. If New England lost Tom Brady and Jimmy Garoppolo was their new quarterback, where would New England fit for you?
Well, first off, could the case be made that it's there's a potential Garoppolo's, by mid-year would be the 11th or 12th best quarterback in the NFL?
I mean, if he stayed on the Patriots, maybe so. But do I think Jimmy Garoppolo is one of the 12 best quarterbacks in the league? Absolutely not.
Well, remember this, all right? One is Belichick drafted him, if I'm remembering, in the second round. All these kind of flyers they took on quarterbacks were never that high. So one is it was a quarterback Belichick liked. And I guess we'll see because, Mike Lombardi was talking, who really understands the Patriots. He worked for them for years. He said, really, they believe the third-string quarterback, Brissett, is the future. And the reason that likely they'll trade Garoppolo is Belichick has so much optimism for the third-stringer. So who knows if that's a diversion from the Patriots through Lombardi. I don't know. But forgetting the patches for a second, because I think Belichick is just different, and we can all look at Matt Castle and say, oh, 11 wins. But when you have 16 wins the year before and 11 wins the next year, that's minus five, right? So in a weird way, that's a super impactful, drop off. And obviously Castle didn't turn out to be very much as the years went by outside of New England. So I guess my point I would say is if you really look at the Colts and the Packers roster, other than their quarterback, I think you could make the case they're two of the worst rosters in the NFL. And I think if you look at the Rams, you look at the Jets, and, as another example, you could make the case. I mean, let me ask you this. Who has a better roster of these three teams, the Jets, the Colts, or the Packers, if quarterbacks are not considered?
Ooh.
I might go Jets.
Probably the Jets.
So think about this. Teams that literally win two or three games, right, versus playoff team. I mean, Green Bay was, a Final Four team this year. And you change one player, and all of a sudden the Jets are the Final Four team, and Green Bay wins three games.
Yeah.
So to me, it kind of doubles back to Romo, is if you really believe Garoppolo's a great – this is my belief. And I know this – everyone's going to say, wow, I thought RJ was smart. I hear him use some good vocabulary words, but I don't agree with that one. And if so, okay, we're going to disagree with it. Here's what I would do if I were a team. I would pick – if I didn't have an elite quarterback or a quarterback I thought to have the potential to be an elite quarterback. And I don't mean average. I mean elite. you know, top 10, let's call it, top third of the league, I would draft a quarterback with my first two picks every year. I don't care. Two first-rounders, two first-round quarterbacks. If I got a first and a second, both quarterbacks. Then I cut, you know, you might say, well, you're paying him, blah, blah, blah. You know, fine. I can cut him anytime I want, right? And then the theory is, well, who did I not pick because of that? A left tackle, a middle linebacker, you know, a safety, who knows what, right? Okay, fine. I could always get replacement level for every position, right? Because that's what you can get at any time, replacement level off the market, right? For, you know, it comes down to a cut time, a very good team, like the Cowboys or whatever, cuts a safety as their last cut. He's probably better than most of the safeties you've got. Boom, you pick him up, no problem, right? And once I get a quarterback, whenever I roll the dice and hit it, right, then all of a sudden, it doesn't matter if the rest of my roster is replacement, I'm going to be a top 10 team. And then it takes a year or two more, I get a couple of nice players in the draft because I'm no longer drafting quarterbacks, and all of a sudden, I'm in the Super Bowl hunt. No matter how good a team is without a quarterback, they hardly can make the playoffs. And if they do, it's first round and out. So make the case why what I'm saying doesn't make sense.
I can't, RJ.
And it sounds dumb, right? Because it sounds like something Matt. No, go ahead.
Fred and I have talked before about what the Colts would be if you took Andrew Luck off of them. What we hadn't talked about before is what would the Rams be if you added Andrew Luck to them. So, I mean, you do make a really interesting point.
So, and as much as it's kind of the dumb guy on the couch who says, we need a quarterback, we should trade seven guys for a quarterback. You know, sometimes the dumb guy, you know, the broken clock is right twice a day. And again, obviously the GMs don't agree with this, right? And they're very smart. But man, all I know is this. There's only about 36 guys in the NFL that are non-quarterbacks that move the spread even a half a point, right? And amongst those 36, there might be seven or eight that move it a point and maybe two or three that move it a point and a half. That's it. Out of, you know, so about one per team that moves the needle other than the quarterback. Of the best quarterbacks move the needle 7 or 8 points, and Aaron Rodgers moves at 10 points. So if I have if each team on average only has one player that moves it a half a point, and if I get a good quarterback that's 14 times as valuable, it just seems like that's the only thing that should matter until you have it.
I've said that I would draft a quarterback every year. I never really thought of it as first and second picks, but until I had one, I would draft one every year. So that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, obviously it's the same concept. It's just whatever the chance of hitting that home run is much higher with the 8th pick or the 14th pick of the draft than it is in the 5th round. So I'm not sure you don't pick a third one. You know, here's the paradox, right? Which is there's all the things about how many snaps in practice and all that stuff. So it really would be you probably would have to cut your guys from last year, your mediocre quarterbacks from last year, and then have three rookies and, you know, spread out the snaps in the off season, and then obviously you'd pick a starter at some point, right? So, you know, I'm not saying the practical side of this is obvious, but man, oh man, I'll tell you right now, if I, as a Steeler fan, right, we're about ready to have the post Big Ben years, right? Not next year, not the year before, but I can tell you this. I was a Steeler fan from age, you know, we talked about me being 10 in 1980, is they won their last Super Bowl in 1980 with Chuck Knoll. Until 95, every year I'm like, man, is Mark Malone. And listen, Mark and I have become friends. I do his radio show. So, but just to be candid, Mark Malone was not an elite quarterback, right? And Bobby Brister was not an elite. I can go down. Cliff Stout was not. These are painful memories for my past. It doesn't matter how good the rest of the team was. There was no chance we were going to do any. Even Neil O'Donnell could get us to the Super Bowl, but we had no chance against the Cowboys. And all of a sudden, we got Big Ben, right? Same organization, same smart Rooneys, all that stuff we hear about. Same three coaches since 69. And we've played in three Super Bowls and have two more rings, right? So, seems obvious.
All right. That's RJ Bell, pregame.com. Check out the website. Most of it's free. In fact, what's the percentage of how much of the site's free?
95.7%. Well, let's call it 95. We got free. We got an ESPN radio show 1 hour a day every weekday here in Vegas. We have that podcast. We did videos. And let me tease one thing on the videos, 20 seconds. Steve Fezzik, guy I talk about a good bit, only got to win the Super Contest twice. He made a video on the NBA All-Star Game that if you watch this video, you will bet the All-Star Game if you're an NBA bettor. It is so convincing. I don't think I've bet an All-Star Game in 10 years. After I watch this video, I'm betting this game. So if anyone has any wants to be kind of titillated into betting the All-Star Game, pregame.com homepage or on YouTube, the handle is pregame TV, all one word.
All right, I'm curious now. I'm going to watch it tomorrow.
I think it's not going to disappoint you.
All right, that's RJ Bell. RJ, always a pleasure, my friend. Look forward to talking to you again next week.
Thanks, guys.
All right, we are going to take a very quick break, or you know, you can make it a longer break because I'd like to dive into this food a little bit. But always great stuff from RJ Bell. Don't go anywhere. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.